Shalom Aleichem. Mishnayomi continues in chapter 1 of Megillah, Mishnah 7, Mishnah Zayin, continuing the famous Ein Bein, comparing different aspects of halacha. Ein Bein Zov, Haroe Shtei Re'yot. There's no difference between a Zov. Now, a Zov is the technical term for a man who had an abnormal emission. Le Roe Shalosh, one who saw three. So if a man saw two on two consecutive days, or two on the same day, so he has to count Shiva Nikim, a concept that might be familiar from Hilchot of Nida. We have a similar concept by Nida. He has to have seven clean days without an emission before he can go to the mikvah and become tahor. But someone who saw three times, Ela Korban, there's a difference. He has to bring a korban before he becomes completely normal again and able to go to the temple and partake in sacrificial offerings. We're going to see these laws in detail when we get to Zava in a couple of years. Ein bein mitzura muskar, the mitzura mukhalat. There's no difference between a mitzura. This is a man afflicted with tzarat, which is a skin blemishes, which are sometimes compared to but are not the same as leprosy. So mitzura muskar is one in quarantine. Now the Torah explains in Vayikra chapter 13, if someone had a certain blemish or a sign or a skin discoloration, they would be examined, and then they'd be quarantined for a week to see if it spread or if healthy skin sprouted in the middle or hair sprouted. There's different signs that would confirm or deny a actual tzarat infection, and that's a mukhlat. Once they've had the quarantine and been confirmed to be affected by this spiritual disease, then they are metzora mukhlat. So let's mention a muskar and a mukhlat, a quarantined versus confirmed, a leprima priya ufrima. Priya is letting the hair grow, which is a sort of a sign of mourning or tuma, and prima is ripping the clothing. The Mishnah concludes, Ein bein tahor mito chesgir. There isn't a difference between a mitzora who was, he was told he was tahor now, he was not affected when he was chesgir in quarantine, latar mito chechlet, to one who was actually confirmed a mitzora, and then later became purified, lost the signs, the patches. Ela tiglochot v'tziporim. The difference is the haircut and the birds, meaning they both have to go to the mikveh to achieve ritual purity, but the mitzora mukhlat, the one who was confirmed as a mitzora with the full laws of mitzora on him, then has to do this ritual in the temple involving a haircut of all of his hair and bringing two birds as an offering. On to Mishnah 8, Ein bein Sfarim, there's no difference between books of scripture, Tanakh, L'tfilin u'mezuzot, to tfilin, which also contain parchment with Shema in it, and mezuzot, which also contain parts of the Torah, Elisha Sfarim nechtavin b'chol lashon, but books of the Tanakh can be written in any language. Not everyone understands Hebrew, but every Jew has an obligation to learn Torah, so learning it in translation does work. Tfilin and mezuzot, but tfilin, your phylacteries, and your mezuzot on your door, eina nechtavin ela ashurit. They're only written in ashurit script, meaning in Hebrew letters, not in Hebrew, but transliterated into English or anything else. And the Mishnah brings a divergent opinion about translating books of scripture. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer af besfarim, even on holy books, lo hitziru, they only allowed sheyikotvu ele yavonit, that they be written only in Greek. He says the only allowable language other than Hebrew was Greek. Now, practically, many people of the time were fluent in Greek, and not as many, perhaps, were fluent in Hebrew, but there's also a pasuk way back in Bereishis, chapter 9, when Noah gives a blessing to the two sons that covered him, and he says, Yoft Elokim leyefet. Hashem should grant beauty to his son Yefet, v'yishkon b'ohalei shem, and he can dwell in the tents of shame. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that you should invite Greek people into your house. If they're Jewish, of course, that makes sense. What it means is the Greek language, which is the yofe of Yefet, the most beautiful language among the descendants of Yefet, should be in the tents, meaning the study halls. Matavu ohalecha Yaakov, which refers to our shuls, our study halls, could be in the tents of shame of the Jewish people. Now the Rav Bar Nura brings, the halacha is like Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, so they only originally allowed translating scripture into ancient Greek. But he says, interestingly, that Bizman Azai Kfar Ovid Osoloshan Yavanit Nishtabish says the Greek people don't speak the same Greek anymore. That ancient Greek has already been corrupted and changed. So he says we only really use Hebrew. As we mentioned, obviously, if people need to learn Torah in translation, they need to learn Torah in translation. The most important thing is the learning of Torah, even though, yes, things do get lost in translation. The Rambam also brings in Hilchot Tefillin, chapter 1, Halacha 19, that the Greek of his day, and that's over 900 years ago, was not the same as the original ancient Greek that was called a beautiful and pure language of Yefet. Now, the Gemara in Megillah on page 9 talks about the Septuagint. Septuagint is Greek for 70. What happened was Ptolemy was the king of Egypt, took over from Alexander the Great, and there were a lot of Jews living in Egypt. He was curious about Jewish scripture, so he had 70 rabbis locked into 70 different rooms and told them all to translate the Bible. Now, with Siyata Dishmaya, with heavenly help, they made the exact same translation with the exact same changes. They actually changed some of the words when they translated from Hebrew to Greek quite on purpose. One of the changes was the word arnevet, meaning some kind of bunny. They changed to the short-legged wild animal because the name of Ptolemy's wife was Arnevet, and he would think that the Jews are making fun of him by putting his wife's name in the Torah as an impure animal. So first of all, we see it's very important to be sensitive to the feelings of other people, especially if he's the king at the time and obviously had a great deal of pride and power and sensitivity. You have to be careful, you don't want to step on people's feet. And it was also considered to be not a positive thing that the Torah was translated into Greek. It was considered, you know, our sages knew something is lost in translation, and that if you can, it's really better to study in the original. It's important to note the Targum Onkelos, the Aramaic translation, was actually approved by the ancient sages 2,000 years ago. Onkelos himself was a convert from, he used to be a Roman, Roman nobility, became Jewish, and that translation was not just made up, but it was based on a more ancient Masorah from Shmaya and Avtalion. So the Targum Onkelos is considered to be authoritative and based on ancient sources in Masorah, whereas the Greek one is considered to be sort of something that had to be done so the powers that be would not harm the Jews. Yeshu Kochachem, and be well.